ABC Radio Australia.
The pandemic, we know, struck many countries of the Pacific sub-region very hard, especially those whose economies are highly dependent on tourism and imports. So today we take a look at the International Labour Organization, or ILO's, report that is highlighting the concerns around unemployment within the youth sector. We're currently, the total unemployment in the Pacific region has returned to pre-pandemic levels, estimated at nearly 800,000 in just 2023. The chief author of this report, Christian Figalen, joins us this morning to discuss this matter. Further with that, I say good morning, Christian.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Firstly, I mean, were you actually surprised by these stats in your report? And also, something like the pandemic, I'm sure recovery after that, especially throughout the Pacific, would have been significantly harder, right?
Yeah, so I think, you know, part of the, let's say, trends that we have seen is really, I mean, we have seen that recovery, but we have at the same time also seen that that recovery has been pretty uneven, with Australia and New Zealand being now, I mean, in terms of GDP growth, pretty much back to their pre-crisis path. But then on the other hand, we do have the smaller Pacific Island countries, where really the pandemic, has created a big gap in economic activity. And, you know, this gap is really persistent. I mean, there has been recovery, but also recently it has been slowing down. And, I mean, all the more, I think it is quite surprising actually to see that unemployment rates have continued to go down, which is good news. But, obviously that's not really the full part of the story, since we also need to look at the quality of jobs that are being created.
Now, Christian, I know you've stated in another report, despite strong job markets, though, you're saying concerns over youth employment remains. Do you mind just elaborating a little bit on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, one of the, let's say, decent work deficits that we see when we look at what is the labor market situation of different groups in society is, you know, when we look at youth, we do see continuously, you know, high or consistently higher unemployment rates among youth relative to adults. I mean, that's not really particularly specific finding to the Pacific. I mean, that's also what we see in other regions as well. But then the gap between youth unemployment rates and adult unemployment rates is particularly pronounced in the Pacific. And not only that, I mean, we also see, for example, when we look at the share of youth that are neither in education or training nor in employment, we also see very, very high shares among some of the countries in the Pacific. I mean, reaching even close to 50%. And this is really much more pronounced than elsewhere.
Yeah. So when we speak again on youth unemployment, what are the difficulties, or in the research that you did, in the youth being able to try and find a job?
Yeah, so I think it's really a multifaceted problem. On the one hand, I mean, we do have challenges, or many countries in the region, the smaller countries are having challenges in really creating high quality jobs that would be attractive for local youth to take up. So instead, many youth do choose the option of, or at least consider the option of going elsewhere, migrating to countries like Australia, New Zealand, or in the North Pacific to the US. So I think this is one of the challenges. And then on the other hand, we also have the challenge that those young people that finish school, come out of school, they might not have, I mean, they will have a particular set of skills, but then what we do see is that there is a mismatch between the skills that these young people have and those skills that are really demanded on the labor market. This is one of the barriers that youth are facing when they exit schools to find jobs.
Yeah, I want to get into that a little bit more just later. But you spoke about high quality jobs. I also saw there in the report. Can you speak to the characteristic of like what poor job quality is? Because how important is it to prioritize that, you know, in terms of finding or keeping a job?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is extremely important, and we at the International Labour Organization really put lots of emphasis on this. It's not really about creating any type of job. It really needs to be a good, a decent job. And I mean, what we see consistently in the region is still, you know, quite a significant share of populations that, you know, do have a job, but then they don't really make it out of poverty levels or above poverty levels. And this is, of course, of concern. We do see in some of the countries fairly low wages compared to the living costs, which, you know, also in recent years, we have really seen inflation skyrocketing high in some of the countries. And even right now, consumer price inflation is not really yet back to pre-crisis levels. And of course, then the wage level is something very, very important to consider in terms of job quality. What we also see in the region is fairly high shares of informal employment. So what is that? That is essentially the, any type of activity of people to produce goods or provide services that are actually not covered by any sort of formal arrangements. And that includes labor legislation or social security laws. So these are, in a sense, unprotected jobs. And of course, that is a very, very important aspect when you have a job. I mean, you want to have some sort of basic, at least, employment protection.
Thank you for that, Christian. If you've just tuned in, we are speaking to chief author of the ILO report, highlighting its concerns around high unemployment rates, especially amongst youth across the Pacific region. So, Christian, again, is it a matter of there's just not enough jobs or vacancies to actually keep up with the demand?
Yeah, it's I think, you know, that there is quite a lot of vacancies that are out there in a lot of countries, but then it's really a matter of really finding the right people with the right skill set. And, you know, some of the countries here in the region are obviously very small countries. So anyway, the type of skill set that are, let's say, demanded on the labor market can be very particular. I mean, I don't know, some countries, for example, you know, they would be in need of plumbers or nurses or teachers. And then, of course, it is very difficult, or there are some challenges to match exactly these demands with the supply and, you know, the preferences of, for example, young job seekers coming out of the school that might not really want to go into those particular professions that are in demand.
I want to switch to talking about targeted employment and what I saw in the report. What does the report highlight in terms of this? Because especially maybe dealing with, you know, gender, women versus men, and then you've also got people who have disabilities. Do you mind sort of explaining a little bit around that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you touched upon the aspect of gender. So, I mean, there is some, let's say, good news in the sense that the share of women in employment and female labor force participation rates in the Pacific tend to be higher than elsewhere. But then still, gender gaps remain in terms of wages. And also in some of the countries, we do see consistently higher unemployment rates among women compared to men. So gender gaps do remain. And then also, for example, persons with disabilities, they also in a lot of instances have actually difficulties being integrated into the labor market. So very often, for example, enterprises lack the required facilities for employed persons with disabilities to make that employment possible and feasible and productive. So, I mean, these are really some of the challenges that do remain. We at the ILO are really, we are working together with a lot of countries in the region to basically develop national employment policies, so comprehensive employment policy frameworks really that cover different areas, skills, social protection, but also entrepreneurship, in order to really make sure that also those economies can create jobs that are attractive enough for people to be taken up and that basically also prevents people from really looking as well abroad for employment opportunities.
Wow. Christian, you know, there was one part in the report that spoke a lot on poverty. And I know this probably is familiar to everyone. Even though you may have a job, you're not necessarily earning enough to live above the poverty line. Can you tell us some more about this?
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the statistics that we are quite often looking at, because obviously, you know, this is, let's say, some kind of basic requirement or expectation that we can have towards a job that, I mean, it should be at least, it should be more than that, but it should be at least able to basically lift you above poverty levels and you and your family members. And really, I mean, in a lot of cases throughout the Pacific, we see that I mean there are still jobs there that don't manage that. And I mean, even though, of course, if we look back last couple of decades, I mean, we have seen the share of people that are in that situation having a job but not being able to make it out of poverty. I mean, has declined. So I mean, these are good news, but then still. Yeah, a lot of people remain in that situation, so further progress certainly needs to be made.
Thank you for that question. Just finally, as we wrap up, though, moving forward, now that this report is out, what are the, I suppose, legislation that needs to be put in place somehow to help things get moving in order for, I suppose, better results in regards to unemployment?
Yeah, I mean that's a very good and relevant question. So I mean, obviously things might not really change overnight. So I mean, some time is needed. But yeah, we are as ILO are working with countries with governments in the region, but also employer and worker organizations to develop policies really to tackle and to address some of those challenges. And yeah, based on our experience as well, as you know, world global organization, based on our experience from other countries, really, if there is leadership and really willingness to change things, and I mean leadership really within the countries at the highest level, then it is possible to make a difference and to then make a difference, a concrete difference to the lives of people. So to develop policies, but not only that, to really make sure that these policies are being implemented and then have a concrete impact on the ground. So that's the good news. Something can be done about it. But of course, it requires efforts. It requires funding, commitment, and yeah, really that leadership at the highest level.